To understand the northwest angle, you must understand fish, the mouth-watering walleye and massive muskellunge that bring people to the 40 small resorts summer and winter. You must also understand the magnitude of the Lake of the Woods, divided between Canada and the U.S. The angle is just one peninsula jutting out along the lake's 65,000 miles of shoreline and 14,000 islands. Human settlement on the angle is clustered along its northern edge. Cabins line the creek, leading into a bay called Angle Inlet.
And what you want to do if you're doing it well, you leave a little silvery strip on there.
Paul Colson, a third-generation Angleite, is returning from a day guiding fishermen on the lake. He quickly cleans the day's catch of walleye on the metal countertops in a fish house. What impresses him after a lifetime here is the sheer immensity of the lake.
You know, there's probably the area of land that I know well, or the area of lake that I know well is probably, you know, 30-mile radius that I know well. You know, that's the stuff that I can run at night. That's the stuff that, you know, that I know. And there's a difference. People say they know Lake of the Woods. Nobody knows it.
The Northwest Angle appeared on the nation's radar last spring when a group of residents announced their desire to secede from the U.S. and join Manitoba. The reason was a complicated dispute involving the U.S., Canada, Ontario, Minnesota, and international treaties. Angle residents say Canada has passed burdensome border crossing rules, while Ontario, fearing overfishing, has passed discriminatory fishing regulations. Angle residents have also become angry over inaction by the U.S. They say regulation of international border waters can't just apply to certain groups on that water. Resort owner Gary Dietzler, who also runs a restaurant called Grumpy's, says Ontario is trying to drive them out of business and visitors to his resort are being penalized.
The point being, if you stay in a Canadian resort, you can boat to an American resort. When you get there, you can pick up the phone, call U.S. Customs, you can buy a license, and go catch a limit of walleyes and keep them. If you stay in a U.S. resort and you want to fish in Canadian waters, you can, first of all, apply for a permit that costs you $30 a person. And when you get that, then you can cross that border, and you can stop at a Canadian resort and buy a fishing license. Then you can buy another license that validates your fishing license, and then you can catch fish and put them back in the lake. Now, if those two situations are equal and fair, my name's Grumpy.
The secession stunt succeeded in grabbing the world's attention. It's a rare day now that a TV crew can't be found on the angle. Dietzler says they are brainstorming additional ways to get publicity.
Some of which we wouldn't want to do until the summer tourism season is past. So that we have 6 months to heal the wounds after we do them.
This PR savvy is strangely at odds with the angle itself, where residents prize their remoteness and isolation. Most of the land on the angle is uninhabited, held in trust by the Red Lake Indian Reservation. Red Lake Chairman Bobby Whitefeather says the land was undesirable to homesteaders, so the U.S. government gave it back to the band in 1945. Band members visit the angle seasonally to hunt or pick berries. When Congressman Colin Peterson introduced a resolution for the angle to secede, he neglected to discuss it with the Red Lake Band, an incident Whitefeather says still rankles.
The most disturbing part of this effort was the lack of consideration for we as a sovereign nation that a congressman serves our district would not have the decency or the respect to even let us know. We are the majority stakeholders of that area up there, and we were not considered. But
Whitefeather says relations with Angle residents have remained cordial. Droughts and economic downturns brought white residents from surrounding states to the Angle. They worked as loggers, lived off the land, and ran small resorts. What they needed, like a church, a school, and a post office, they built themselves. George Risser was born in Kenora, Ontario, the closest hospital by water, and grew up on the angle.
We thought we were awful poor, I think, which everybody was up here. You know, it was pretty poor folks. But I don't think it hurt anybody. Everybody was pretty healthy, and nobody ended up in jail. It wasn't too much to get in trouble about, you know.
Like many residents, Risser left the angle as a young man and came back married. Now he's the local postmaster, presiding over a log post office about 10 feet square. His grandparents were some of the first settlers on the angle. His parents met at what he calls an old-time dance.
It used to be a big thing to have the dances around the country. When there was, well, even when I was young, and they still had them house dances at somebody's house, you know. The whole territory would come, and everybody played some kind of instrument. Had a big dance, dance all night.
Changes came slowly. Many people cite the completion of a year-round road to the angle in the 1970s as a major innovation. Before then, summer travelers had to take a passenger boat between the angle and the town of Warroad. Celeste Colson runs the resort started by her father-in-law in the 1940s. She returned to the angle with her family from the Twin Cities in the 70s. When Colson gets reminiscing with a friend over tea one night, she says it was like going back in time.
But I remember one night shortly after we got there, one of the kids got sick, started crying in the middle of the night. And I got up and I lit the kerosene lamp and I went over to one of the kids. They'd thrown up. I stripped off the sheets, threw them out the door, changed the sheets, blew out the light. Next morning, I'm rinsing in the creek. And I thought, holy smoke, 200 years. Yeah.
Telephone service arrived on the mainland in the 1990s. But people on the islands still use radio telephones, and overall, marine band radio remains the preferred form of communication. Angle gossips have been known to listen in on the channels where private conversations are taking place.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
The angle couldn't be more different from the tourist spots along the north shore of Lake Superior, where there's always a hiking trail and a cappuccino around the bend. While old-timers claim the angle has changed beyond recognition, there's not a condominium in sight, or a grocery store, or a gas station. Conspicuous consumption in cars or houses would seem to be frowned upon here, although people speak admiringly of the bigger boats showing up.
Yeah, we've grown up together since we were just little.
Adam Rasmussen and Amy Dietzler are back home for the summer after their first year away at college. They say growing up on the angle had its drawbacks, like a dearth of activities outside school. This fall, the angle school will have 9 students in its one-room schoolhouse, the last one in the state, but the tiny school is known for producing top students.
The parents are so involved in the school up here. Mm-hmm. They do come to every activity, and not even if you're not a parent, pretty much everyone else that lives up here comes here to the picnics in the spring and the Christmas programs and all those things.
Everybody up here, you know, the whole community supports that school. You know, I mean, it's like a huge reunion every time they have like a play or, you know, things like that. And I don't know, they're expected. They expect a lot from the kids up here. And, you know, they have a good teacher. And she really, you know, does well with the challenges she has to face, you know, teaching all the kids.
Besides running a classroom for all ages, teacher Linda Castle lives in a cabin on the Bear River to which no road extends. She boats to school in the summer, snowmobiles in winter. When the school closed for a few years for lack of students, Castle had to begin her trip even earlier to go teach in Warroad, 2 hours away.
So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I left our cabin, and it was pitch black, and made my way down to the dock with a flashlight and got the boat started and all that. And so on one hand, I held the throttle of the motor, on the other hand, the flashlight or the spotlight. And of course, Bear River is not just straight, so you can, you know, just go right down here. You have to stay in between the wild rice and the channel.
Commutes and other mundane aspects of urban life get complicated when living in relative wilderness. Today, the wilderness Castle experiences on her way to work coexists with encroachments from the outside. Satellite dishes adorn most yards, and bombardiers and snowmobiles have made the angle a busy place in winter when it was once empty and quiet. Still, the past feels tangible and immediate. In the skirmishes between the Ontario government and angle residents, there's an echo of the feuds between rival fur trading companies as well as the warring Sioux and Chippewa. On Magnuson's Island at the mouth of Angle Inlet, a replica of the French Fort St. Charles rises on the lakeshore. As longtime resident Celeste Colson explains, the site was identified thanks to a gruesome piece of Lake of the Woods history.
The French then were perceived by the Sioux as allies of their enemies, the Chippewa, and they were, there was a contingent that was sent out here, including the son of the explorer and the priest, Father Allnew, went one day's trip on their way to Fort Frances, and they were ambushed by Sioux warriors, and they were all killed on the island that still bears the name Massacre.
The remains were taken to Fort St. Charles for ceremonial burial. In 1909, an expedition uncovered 19 skulls in two neat rows. Today, the struggle for control over the lake's bounty continues, albeit more diplomatically. Angolites speak knowledgeably of turn-of-the-century treaties with Canada. The border, disputed for more than 200 years until 1925, is haunting them again. This time, they say their removed location and small numbers have caused the U.S. to abandon them. Coulson has big dreams for the angle. While she's forced to care about fishing and has been to Washington to plead the case against Ontario, what really excites her is taking more advantage of the lake's natural and human history.
I'm interested in taking people out historically, you know, pointing out historical spots, scenic spots. We have cactus that grow on some of these islands, bloom on them. Isn't that just amazing? There's eagles, and there's just neat stuff to see out here. That's what I would like to do. Because I know there's other, and bird watching, there's got to be other people like me out there.
Coulson also wants to see an interpretive center and museum established. Canadian officials have signaled that the border crossing issue may be resolved soon. Coulson is hopeful that the fishing regulations, too, will be altered in the next 18 months so resort owners can relax. And she can get on to more important tasks, like teaching her grandchildren the lore of the Northwest Angle. In Duluth, I'm Amy Radel, Minnesota Public Radio.